Brother Pearson, our beloved world president, has one great burden: the finishing of God's work. Going home. I said last Sabbath, I believe that our beloved Elder Pearson is God's gift to this denomination for such a time as this. Every time I go into his office, or if I meet him in the hall, he'll slip his arm around me, come to greet me at the door. Brother Minchin, come into my office and pray for me. Pray with me. He longs to see this church revived. He longs to see a revival of true godliness among us. He is well aware of some of the desperate needs among us today, the inroads of worldliness, the tragedy of indifference and lethargy, the effects of a godless materialism all around the church today. It's affecting many of our own dear people. They're engrossed from day to day and week to week with making a living, business, money, home, possessions, cars, banking accounts, struggling to make ends meet. And many of the Lord's people are becoming wearied, discouraged, or shall I say, neglectful of the things that pertain to their eternal salvation. This is a time when the Holy Spirit is moving, calling us to come up higher, come closer. The end is near. The Lord is about to rise to finish his work. And I tell you, friends, in a very short time now, we'll know that the things we've been talking about this week, night after night as we've come here to pray and we've stayed behind to seek the Lord, we know that these are the only things that really matter. Last evening, once more we stayed behind. I invited those beautiful youth and the others who came forward here. We saw about 70 or 80 youth down here singing softly and beautifully, "Take my life and let it be." I shall never forget that. I've had a number remark to me. They were moved to tears as they heard our youth sincerely, earnestly offering themselves. And dear brothers and sisters, I pass on to you the burden in the heart of our world president, which is reflecting, that heart that is reflecting today, the burden in the heart of our God. My brethren and sisters, the cross is a revelation to our dull senses of the pain that has been at the heart of God since the inception of sin. There's a pain in his heart tonight, friends, that sin and sorrow continues on this earth. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. In mercy he's delayed his coming. How would some of us have fared, friends, had he come last week or a month ago? A great unwarned world lies at our door. Something has to happen. Something will happen. I see its movings. There's a going in the tops of the mulberry trees. I see it among our youth. The two classes among us are becoming more distinct: the worldly and the indifferent class, and the group, the class among us who are earnestly seeking God, seeking to bring their hearts and lives into conformity to his will and in obedience to his truth. And friends, obedience is the only true test of discipleship, isn't it? And so we see those two classes moving, becoming more apparent. And the Lord calls us. I say again, brethren and sisters, the Lord could finish up his work in a very, very short time when his people are ready. He has means and ways that we know not of. Miraculous things are happening. We're seeing signs today that our parents didn't see, telling us that the coming of the Lord is near. It hasteth greatly. Oh, soon, friends, soon we'll be home. I have wandered up and down this old earth for many, many years. I told the young people, I started out as a young man, a lad, in the ministry. We entered the ministry very early in those days. And for 44 years this month, I've been preaching. I would to God I'd been a better preacher. But I wish nothing else tonight but that I'd like to be a better preacher. And I want my last years to be my best for Him. But with anxious hearts, we look now to our boys, to our girls, to our youth. Is this work going to be safe in their hands? From what I have seen, we have youth among us today who are worthy and who will become God's messengers. Lift up your hearts, dear friends. The Lord is coming. He'll be true to His promise. If I go, He said, I will come again. And He's told us that He's coming, when He's coming would be near, and we see those signs tonight. The end. The end. And there's a conviction, there's a growing feeling all around this earth that this earth today, the inhabitants of this earth are moving towards something. Some great climax. Whichever way you like to look at it, my friends, the situation is desperate. Apart from God and the hope the Christian has. There's no area in which we can look and study tonight, friends, but what the future looks black for it. But we have a hope. We're not messengers of doom. Oh, He's coming back. Oh, that moment when the heavens open and we see Him with all the holy angels descending for His children. My friends, that will be the supreme moment of our existence, won't it? When we behold His face. And tonight, friends, I didn't intend to elaborate on these thoughts, but I'm just expressing my heart a little bit in this last moments of our week together. But I like to think of it, friend, because it is a blessed hope, isn't it? What would we do without it tonight, friends? Life would have no meaning for us. The end of sorrow, the end of heartache, the end of loneliness, the end of sin, the end of sickness, the end of death. Think of it, friends. Think of it. The blessed hope. And it's real. It's true. I'm not talking a fairy tale or a theory. This is the word of God to His children. And He is faithful that promised. Now tonight, we have purposed that I shall not take all the time. I do want to give a message from the Word of God. But I had hoped that tonight we could mingle our worship with some expressions of praise. But before we do, I would like to turn our hearts for a few moments to the Word of God. We sang tonight, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. What a hymn. And I'm sure we're going to sing that from our hearts as we speak of this blessed assurance. But I want to read to you, my thoughts have gone back today to an experience in the life of our Lord on this earth. And it says down here in Matthew 10 and verse 20, "And behold, a woman which was diseased came behind him and touched the hem of his garment." And in the same story recorded in Luke 8, I read in verse 45, "And Jesus said, Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." This poor woman, for 12 years, had sought help for her physical infirmity. She found none. She'd heard of the Master. Perhaps she'd heard him speak. Maybe she'd seen him. But into that woman's heart came a great faith that embraced him as her Savior. She believed him to be the Son of God. And in her weakness and her sickness, she said, "Oh, if I could only come near him. Oh, if I could only be near enough to him, even to touch the hem of his garment, I'm sure I'd be made whole." Do you think that the Savior knew that where that woman lived? He knows where every earnest heart, where every child of faith dwells. And one day, he came to her village. And it was noised abroad, "The Master's coming." And he came down her street. Do you think he came down her street purposely, friends? He might have gone another way. But he knows, he knows. There was a child of faith in that street. And so, can you picture them? The Savior of mankind walking along that road, and the crowd around him, the disciples, the curiosity seekers. Some of them thought he was a wonder worker, and they jostled up against him, and the disciples were with him. And as they walked along, that poor, timid, sick woman, she knew that the chance, the moment of a lifetime had come. And as she saw him coming down, she crept out near the roadside. And I think, friends, I think he went over near to her purposely, don't you? It's just what he'd do. It's just what he'd do. And in that supreme moment, he came near enough to her. Maybe he went right to the edge of the road there so she could express her faith. And she reached out tremblingly, and she barely succeeded in touching the hem, maybe one of the tassels of blue that hung from that seamless dress. And immediately, a thrill of life passed through her poor, sick body. She was made whole. And the Savior stopped And he looked around. And I can see him looking on the face of that poor, timid, shrinking woman. And lovingly, as he looked into her face, he said, "Who touched me?" And of course, Peter, always ready to say something. Always ready to do something. Dear old Peter, I love that character. Impetuous, but what a man he became, didn't he? Under the leadership and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God needs Peters among us today. And if they get the Holy Spirit flooding their souls, God will do marvelous things through them. But he had to learn many lessons. The Savior discovered him to himself. Peter said, "Lord, what do you say that for? Everybody's touching you. We're all bumping up against you all the time. Why do you say that?" And the second time, he looked at that little woman. And again he said, "Who touched me?" He knew who touched him. Of course he did. But what was he wanting? He was wanting that little sick woman who'd now been healed to come forward and acknowledge him before the crowd. That was what he wanted him to do, wanted her to do. Ah, young people and friends, and it says, "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling," no pride, no self-important bearing, oh no, trembling. My friends, there's no pride in the heart of the true believer, the one who's truly found him as a precious Savior and has found his healing in their souls. It's all of him, nothing of us. "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately." Friends, and I read in that beautiful book, The Desire of Ages, he wants us. He is gladdened when in simple faith and in humility we make confession before the people, before the congregation, before our loved ones of his faithfulness and his love. Our confession of his faithfulness is heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. We are to acknowledge his grace as made known through the holy men of old, but that which will be most effectual is the testimony of our own experience. Did you hear that? That which will be most effectual is the testimony of our own experience. Every individual has a life distinct from all others and an experience differing essentially from theirs. God desires that our praise shall ascend to him marked by our own individuality. Oh, we had a glorious week down at Monterey Bay Academy last week, and last Friday night, a week ago tonight, there they were praising the Lord and bearing a loving testimony, no pride, no self-important bearing. There were some tears shed, yes. And each one was different. It was beautiful. And they meant it. These precious acknowledgments to the praise of the glory of his grace, when supported by a Christ-like life, have an irresistible power that works for the salvation of men. Oh, friends, it's that qualification there that touches my heart and speaks to me. These precious acknowledgments to the praise of the glory of his grace when supported by a Christ-like life And I think, friends, as we invite our youth tonight, those of them who would like to tell you humbly, simply, sincerely, what Jesus has done for them. We won't have time for all to speak. No, we won't prolong the meeting unduly. But some will be able to bear a testimony. And I know it's in their hearts tonight to ask you, moms and dads, parents, teachers, leaders, will you silently pray as they come forward, tremblingly, like that poor woman? Yes, tremblingly. But she came, didn't she? And they're going to ask you to pray for them, that they might now go forward to live Christ-like lives in their homes. And mums and dads, don't you think we ought to be praying as older ones that we shall support our faith and our place in the home by Christ-like lives? Or they may make mistakes. Many of them are just little children in the faith, as it were, young and inexperienced. But oh, my brothers and sisters, hasn't our Heavenly Father been patient with our mistakes? I marvel that when I think of my Heavenly Father and His long-suffering toward me, therefore I must be long-suffering and patient. And when a young person who's opened his heart to the Lord does falter and make a mistake, oh, my brothers and sisters, let's encourage them. Let's lift them up. Pray with them and say, Mommy and Daddy, we all make mistakes, but we're going to press through together. We're going to get through together. You pray for us and we'll pray for you. Let's have more family prayers when things happen that go wrong, friends. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that we should do more than we do. We should praise Him more than we do. You know, the old-fashioned testimony meeting, it's going out today. I believe we need to revive it, my friends. You know why it's going out? Because our hearts are getting cold and formal. I have that wonderful text here I've read many times. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh, I thought we only had to believe in the heart. No, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, two things, confess with the mouth, believe in thine heart. And Revelation 12:10 it says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, and how else? By the word of their testimony. There's overcoming power, friends, in a simple, sincere testimony of faith in Jesus Christ and His redeeming love. The servant of God says, young people, open your mouth and tell. Tell your friends. Oh, last Friday night, after the meeting was all over, I was wearied and tired after a long week of meetings there at Monterey Bay. We'd had a glorious night and I was happy, but I went to bed quite late. And I heard footsteps outside my door and there was a knock. And I jumped up, put my gown on, and there were two boys at the door. One boy said, Elder Minchin, I brought my friend. I want us to pray with him. And this lad brought his friend here, a lad who looked dejected and miserable and unhappy. And there that lad brought his friend. He said, I want Brother Minchin to talk to you too. He said, you know, I'm so happy. I was a careless boy. I had no conscience. I didn't care what I did. But lately something's happened to me and I found Jesus Christ as a Savior in my life. He's forgiven me my sins and I have something. And he tried to tell his friend and the friend looked so indifferent and so careless. And you know, that dear boy opened his mouth, the one that brought him in, and he spoke so earnestly, I was moved to tears as I saw that boy pleading with his friend and talking to him. He said, you don't know. He said, I'm not putting this on. He said, there's something's happened to me. And he said, it's made me so happy, and I have a peace in my heart, and I've got the hope of a life to come, and I've got to share it with you, Jack. I've got to share it with you. And that boy broke down. He just wept. That boy wasn't putting it on. I tell you, friends, when a person can go like that with a heart full of love and love a sinner to Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, my friend, it's the greatest thing in the world. More important than preaching, talking, or anything else, to lay hold of a poor sinner and love him to Christ. How many of us have done that, friends? Sometimes we can criticize people and condemn people. How many of us know what it means to get aside people and love them to the Lord Jesus until they become new creatures? And the servant of God says to young people, tell your friends, tell them what joy there is in the Christian life. That's just what this boy was doing. Tell them what precious things you have found in your friendship with Jesus. Tell of what he means to you. She mentioned 3 or 4 times, tell. She said, as this is done, many will awake as if from a dream. Young people in the world don't know what Jesus means, the new life that he brings, the peace and the joy that comes through obedience to him. I was away down there in South America in Buenos Aires, and I was preaching night after night in our church there in Buenos Aires in South America. And I said to the young people there, it was packed night after night, those beautiful South American young people, I can see them now. I said, look, young folk, on Saturday night, there'll be my final meeting here with you. I want it to be a praise meeting, and I want you young people to bring in your unconverted friends. Bring in your Catholic friends. There are a lot of Catholics down there. It's a big Catholic country, and there's some very earnest people among them. I said, you bring them in, and if there's not room for you all to sit, you stand around the walls and let your friends sit. They did. The church was packed to the doors. They were standing outside the windows looking through. Oh, I knew that there were a lot of non-Seventh-day Adventists there, because, you know, they love jewelry down there, and many of these dear people were just loaded with jewelry, bangles and earrings, I don't know what. And I saw a young lady come down here with a friend, her Catholic friend, and they sat right over here. And then we opened it to testimony. I said, come on, young people, tell, tell. I don't want you to tell if he doesn't mean anything to you. I don't want you to parade yourselves. We're not going to boast about ourselves. We've got nothing to boast about. We're not going to just want to be seen and heard among men. No, tremblingly we'll come forward and tell of what Jesus has done for our poor sinful hearts. And they did. What a night. And a young man came up here, and he was speaking with a glowing face. And my translator said to me, Brother Minchin, oh, this is a wonderful experience. This young man here is a converted Roman Catholic priest. And he's telling of how he's found Jesus as a personal Savior. He's now a baptized member of our church. Now, my translator said he was such a promising young priest, they sent him to Rome to study for 3 years. Now he's back. And last year, through the witness of some of our beautiful, wonderful lay people in this church, this man has accepted this truth. And he's telling the people he no longer has to confess, to go to confession and confide and confess his sins through a man. He can go directly to Jesus. He said, I never knew my Savior before. Oh, he was afar off to me. I never knew him as a personal friend. And I was watching this young Catholic girl over here. She had bangles and earrings on. She was leaning forward, listening. She'd never heard anything like that before. She leaned over when this young man was talking, and I saw the tears glistening on her cheeks. Presently, do you know what she did? She unscrewed this earring, put it in her bag. Then she unscrewed this earring, put it in her bag. In a few moments she got up and she asked if she could speak. And she stood there. She said, "Friends, I don't have any right to be here tonight. I'm a Roman Catholic. But I've never been here, never been in a meeting like this before. I never knew about Jesus Christ like this. I've never heard young people talk about Jesus Christ like this. And yet somehow I feel we must all belong to the same Father in heaven." "Oh," she said, "I would just love to find the happiness that I've seen in the faces of so many of these young people. Would you pray for me?" Wasn't that wonderful? Tell, the servant of God says, "and as this is done, many will awake as if from a dream." That dear girl had been in a dream she'd never seen. But oh, when Jesus was honored and lifted up in the voices and the faces of those young people, she was awakened as if from a dream. Young people, this is the testimony the world is waiting for from you, and from you, Mom and Dad, and parents and teachers. This will be more effective even than handing out a few tracts and putting a paper in a box and mailing something off to somebody. It's easier to do that, my friend, sometimes, than it is to tell sincerely and earnestly and lovingly what Jesus has done for your soul. And this is the heart of all true religion, my friends. Oh God, deliver us from formality and theory and pretense. I think, friends, we need to enter into a new love relationship with our Lord, don't you? This is Christ, our righteousness. This is the light that's going to lighten this earth with its glory. Christ, my righteousness. I have none of my own. Dear friends, I'm going to throw the meeting open to these young people. Just a few words each. If you don't know what to say, young people, maybe you can think of a precious promise, or maybe you just like to say what it means to you now. A young man said to me, a soldier boy said that to me once. I preached at a youth camp, at a soldier's camp over in Europe, and an American soldier came to me. He said, "Brother Minchin, can I talk to you? Elder Minchin, I want to say something to you." And we went for a walk out under the trees. He said, "Tell me, sir, can Christ really save a fellow? What's he done for you?" He said, "I've slipped, I've fallen, I've done everything that's wrong, but I'm waiting, I'm longing for somebody to tell me that Christ can save him from his sins." Mr. Minchin, what's he doing for you now? Is he saving you from your sins? I'll never forget that as he probed my heart. That's the testimony the world wants to see. And dear young people and friends, isn't that our longing? That poor woman had chronic sickness, didn't she? And there are some of us suffering from chronic sickness. Chronic weakness against temptation. Is that your chronic sickness, friends? Chronic weakness against temptation. Chronic sloth. Chronic criticism. We've got people who are chronic critics in the church. Chronic ill temper in the home. Never seem to get rid of it. Slightest thing gets us upset and we give away to ill temper. And I tell you, friends, that causes more heartache and misery and sorrow in hearts and in homes than all the thieves in the world put together, I think. Some of us are suffering from chronic sicknesses spiritually. Ah, but if we'll come in simple faith, like that trembling woman, and her faith reached hold of Jesus and embraced him as a personal Savior, and that touch was different, my friends, from those that brushed up against him, the touch of the wondering crowd, they brushed up against him, but they had no power come to their hearts and lives, the curiosity seekers. They were all there, but they had no accession of divine power reach them. And it's possible for people even to come into a church like this, my friends, and find no healing, because our faith doesn't reach out and embrace Jesus Christ as our own personal deliverer and Savior. There may be some in this audience today, tonight, who this very moment are reaching out by faith and reaching hold of Him and claiming Him as their deliverer and their power, their Savior, to give them power to obey. My brother, sister, friend, young person, have you suffered from some chronic sickness, chronic sin? You found no deliverance, no way out until Jesus came. And now you sing a song of faith and deliverance and pray that it will be supported now by a Christ-like life. God bless you, friends. I've spoken longer than I intended to, but we'll have time for some testimonies. And listen, young folk, I think you won't mind, older people, if we give it. We're not going to prolong the meeting unduly, but I know you want to hear from some of our precious youth a little simple testimony of love and faith. And pray for them, will you? They're up against it today in a wicked world, alluring them. But Christ has called them, and they're going to tell you what He's done for them. And while they're coming to the platform, let's have 20 or 30 of them maybe, come up and join me on the platform while we sing it together. All right, young people. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Well, I didn't know we'd have such a crowd up here as this. It's in their hearts though, so we'll have to ask them to be brief and just come and tell us what's in their hearts and the faith that's there tonight. Who'll be the first now? All right, Bill, you be first.
I have never been as happy as I am now. I have found Christ, and I'm determined to make Him first in my life.
God bless you, Bill. Yes. You can just slip back to your seats after you've finished your testimony.
I've always hated listening to people give testimonies. I never could understand what could possibly possess them to get up there and say what they do say. But now I can see, and if there's anyone else here that has felt the way I do, well, I feel sorry for you, and I hope that someday you'll share the same experience.
And what about your Savior, my boy? Just tell us what He means to you.
He means a lot.
God bless you. He means everything, doesn't He?
That's right.
All right, now one of our girls.
I just want to praise the Lord tonight for coming into my soul and changing my life. And friends, if you haven't accepted Him, please accept Him now. It's the most wonderful, beautiful experience you'll ever have.
Yes.
I'm so thankful that God loves us, even though we're just one little speck on this earth, and that He'll forgive us our sins if we have faith in Him. And I've seen His power manifested in all my friends, and they found God, and I'm so happy.
Yes, I'm so happy. Yes, speak up, won't you, so they can all hear.
You know, Jesus is the most wonderful friend we have, and we can go to Him any time we want, and He'll always listen to us. And this has meant so much to me that if we go to Him and confess our sins, He'll always bring us back and we can always be His.
I have a friend so precious, so very dear to me. He loves me with such tender love. He loves so faithfully. I could not live apart from Him. I know that He is nigh. And so we dwell together, my Lord and I. All right, Jerry.
All right. There's a text that's really encouraged me. You talk of this world that we've got to live in, and, well, Paul says it better than I could. Christ is speaking to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." But that's not the part. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Wonderful promise, isn't it? Yes, thank you, Jay. Yes.
Many people say God is dead, but nobody but God could have changed our lives like He did. Before I was not as happy as I am now, I found everything. Man, religion, that's where it's at.
Yes. Yes. All right, son.
I am thankful I found God before it was too late, and I hope many others do too.
Yes. Little girl?
I just want to say that I'm really happy and that I really love God.
Yes. Son?
I'd like to thank the Lord for forgiving all our sins and for being so kind, showing us the right way to live. It's a lot better.
I'd like to say that I love Jesus because He died to save for me. And I know He's come to be a real friend to me and to strengthen and encourage me.
Yes. Son?
Since I gave my life to Christ, He's filled my heart with love and happiness. And the more I submit myself, the more I get filled with happiness. And I challenge everybody who wants to be filled with happiness to come to Jesus Christ.
Amen. You know, friends, this is a beautiful sight. The world's youth tonight are going their way. Pleasure, sin, drink, dope, drugs, dance hall. Aren't you thankful, friends? Praise God for them and lift up a little prayer for every one that speaks tonight, friends, that God will hold them as our treasures in the church and keep them faithful. Another one.
I'm so very happy that I have God in my life, and I'm sure that if you take me into your life, He'll do the very same for you.
Yes. And if any of them have had a special victory, even this week or in recent weeks, just don't be afraid to tell us. Yes, son.
I'm so thankful that I've found the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I just wish everybody could feel as happy as I did tonight.
Yes.
Help you pray for me so that I'll continue the way I am now.
Amen. You know, I keep wanting to sing. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He keeps me through night and day, and keeps me singing all the day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.
I really love God a lot and everything, and God really never meant too much to me until Elder Minchin came, and I'm so thankful that God sent him, because I wish everybody could have an experience like we here at Modesto have experienced. We love God so much, and we hope that everybody will feel the same.
Yes. You see, she's trying to tell you. This little girl last Friday night, I'll never forget her. She kept saying, I don't know. Then she'd try and say a little more, and think, I don't know. She was so nervous. I said, little girl, God knows. She was trying to tell us of the happiness, and she just kept saying, I don't know. It doesn't matter, friends, young people, if you don't say what you're meant to say. I'm thankful for a Heavenly Father who knows what we meant to say, and that's all that really matters, isn't it? All right, now I think this one may be.
Christ has made it possible for each of us to lay all our burdens on Him. And when you do, He'll fill you with a happiness that you never thought possible like He has for me.
Yes.
I want to thank God especially for my Christian parents. And I want you all to pray for me that I'll be more faithful.
Yes. Son?
I'm so thankful that God has come into my life. And I hope that all of you will gain this experience.
Yes.
I'm so happy I found Christ as a friend this week, and that I know He'll never let me down when I have a problem.
Yes. Son, come right over, won't you? Move up.
Christ is a good friend, and I'm glad I found Him. And all you have to do is ask Him, and He'll come to you too.
I praise the Lord that I have found Him, and I pray that all of you may find Him too.
Elder Minchin said to mention victories won. Every test passed at college is a test won.
And I'm thankful for my angel on one side and Christ on the other.
Yes. Christ, he's making a world of difference in my life, and I know he will in your life too.
Christ is a more real personal favorite to me now, and I'm a lot happier.
I want the power of Jesus Christ in my life so I can live a better life for him.
Do you remember last night what text we took to get for power? And to as many as received him, to them gave he power. Power comes with a person, doesn't it? God bless you, sir.
I want to thank Christ for coming into my life and becoming a personal friend to me.
Yes, boy.
I'm so thankful to the Lord that he has given us the chance for eternal life that is so undeserved.
Yes. Yes,
Paul?
That's right.
It really is a privilege to have the joy and happiness of knowing that you have a true friend like Christ.
Yes.
Lately, our youth in this area have been set afire with love. We ask that you pray for all of us and help to keep our fire burning.
That's right.
Christ has done so much for us. He's been so wonderful. Surely we can follow him and try to do our best with his help.
That's right. All right. Lois?
I'm so happy that Christ is my Savior. He's meant so much to me, and I want to do all that I can for him someday.
God bless you, Lois. Yes.
I want to ask for strength to tell everyone just how much Christ has done for our lives.
Yes. Yes.
I wish every one of you could have the same experience as we are having. It is a lovely experience, and I'm sure you would all enjoy it.
Yes. Girlie?
God has worked a miracle for our school, and I hope you'll pray for us.
Yes. He has worked a miracle for us. Will you pray for us? That's a good request.
Well, God's done so much for me, I just couldn't begin to thank him.
Yes. Come right up close, young people, so we won't waste time. That's right.
I want to thank Elder Mitchin for coming to our school and renewing our strength and showing us how happy we can be.
I am thankful that Jesus died for me and I can do nothing in my own strength.
Yes.
I just thank the Lord for the miracle that he's worked in my life. He's made me desire to go home more. In the last few months that I ever have in my life, and that is my soul's desire, is to be in heaven.
Amen. To see his face.
I'm yes. So thankful for my Savior and glad that he is my personal God.
Yes. You see, friends, they're mostly saying the same truth. Does that weary you to hear them? Don't the angels say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty"? That's repetition, isn't it? Do you think our Father is honored with that repetition? If it truly comes from sincere hearts of faith, he is glorified by this simple expression of faith. Another one.
I am so thankful that Christ, the love of Christ, has come into my heart, and I'm thankful that he has come into the love of the school.
Yes. God bless you, my God.
I want to thank God for my Christian parents and all they've done for me. And I hope all parents will be like my parents.
Yes. God bless you, son.
All I can say is that I'm happy and I want to show others of my happiness.
Yes. What has made you happy, my girl? Of course.
Well, I think that Christ is really wonderful because he came down to this world and he gave up his life for us so that we could live for him.
Yes.
I'm so thankful that Christ has come into my life, and I wish everyone could be as happy as I am.
I've been raised hearing of Christ, and yet I never really realized how much he really means. And I'm so happy that I found him, and I hope that I can always keep sight of him.
Yes. This little girl says she's always heard of Christ, but she never understood what he could mean to anybody. How long is it since you found Jesus as your Savior? Just recently?
Just recently.
God bless you, my girl. Keep the joy in your heart. Yes, this little girl.
I've never been so happy, and I want to thank God for loving me.
I hope you all pray for us. We're all trying awfully hard to do what's right.
Yes.
I know I've been looking for something, and Christ reached down and pulled me up, and I'm so thankful.
Yes, and she's come all the way up this like this to give this little testimony. I'm sure she's had a blessing for doing it. Yes.
I've had many difficulties in my life, and I found Christ, and I know He'll guide and direct me, and I know He'll do the same for all of you.
Yes, yes.
I just want to thank Christ for creating me and giving me two great parents and the ability to love.
Yes. They're great blessings, aren't they?
I never thought that I could do as many things that I can do now since I found Christ. And I'm glad that we all have the promise that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us.
I was just thinking, when we think about what God came down and did for us, heaven's really pretty cheap, and I want to be ready.
Yes.
I want to tell you I'm so glad that Christ has come into my life. And I want something, no matter how low your sin is or anything, you can go to Christ and He will forgive.
Yes. That's the beautiful message of salvation, isn't it?
I'd like to thank Jesus for coming into my life this past week.
Yes. Yes.
I'm so happy because Jesus has forgiven my sins and has given me the promise of the power to overcome.
Yes, yes.
I have found that one last final decision can be real torture. But when you make it, you can have real true joy. Christ is the answer. And I ask you to pray with me that one of the greatest mission fields will be totally won. Our own school.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago when Antinak was here, I was moved, but I wasn't sure which really what I wanted to do. And then this past week, I felt what Christ did to me, not only to me, but to the whole student body. And I hope that you will pray for us to keep this power of faith in us.
Yes. Friends, this morning we had a beautiful sight in that academy. As the young people committed themselves for service. We surrendered our lives through the week, renewed our consecration. But this morning, it was a commitment to service and to the finishing of the work. And you know, 35 young men came forward to offer themselves to the gospel ministry. 35. And we had over 40 at Monterey Bay. Brethren and sisters, the Spirit of God is touching the hearts of many of our young men. He's going to raise up from your little academy here and your churches here some great champions of righteousness and faith. Pray earnestly that God will fulfill His purpose. And all those others who committed themselves for service in some forms, whether it's missionaries, doctors, teachers, what an army of youth, what an army of workers if they walk closely by the side of their Lord. All right, let's go.
I praise God every day that He is with me. And I thank my parents for helping me so much. And also Elder Minchin and all the people he stands for that are backing us up.
Yes. I think there should be some happy parents around tonight.
Amen.
And preachers.
I thank God for my parents, and I thank God for the happiness that He offers us, and I want to make the most of it.
God bless you, Charlotte. Yes.
I'd like to thank God for sending Elder Minchin here this week to give us a week of prayer, because you know, after this week, God has meant a lot more to me, and I know He's meant a lot more to my friends, and from now on, I'd like to live a life for God.
Yes.
I'd like to thank the Lord for coming into my life and giving me strength and happiness.
Yes.
I'm thankful that God has a big enough heart for every sinner and even me.
Yes.
I thank God for all my many blessings and for my Christian parents.
Jacobson's pastor.
Yes, sir. My heart was pounding so hard down there that I just had to come up. I thank the Lord that I am part of this youth movement. Yes. And please pray for me that I might have strength to go on.
Amen. He said his heart was pounding down there. He just had to come up. All right, Miss Kelly.
I want to thank God for many blessings that I've received from the week of prayer that Elder Minchin held in Monterey Bay Academy, and for the many victories that I saw won, the many prayers that were answered.
Thank you. Yes.
I'd like to thank God for His love.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank God for His love for me and for the manifestation we have seen tonight of His outpouring on our people. I think, brothers and sisters, that we are seeing the beginning of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. And may each of us, we adults as well as our young people, go forward from this meeting to finish the work in Modesto.
Amen. I tell you, this young sister's testimony, I'm sure, has met with a real response in our hearts. Isn't it time for us to rise and finish the work, friends? These young people are coming under a conviction that God is calling them for such an hour as this. All right?
I thank God that He died, let His Son come down and die for me, and I want you to pray for me.
Yes. Yes.
I'd just like to say how happy I am that God loves me, and I want to pledge my life to Him. I hope you'll all pray for me.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for what God sends me.
Yes.
And after the Sabbath school, they can have that teaching service.
First of all, as a parent, I'm afraid that I maybe speak for quite a few. This is the first time I've ever made a testimony.
Mm-hmm,
I have tried so many times to get up front and express myself, and I haven't been able to.
Yes.
And let me tell you why I really came. One reason, my heart was pounding as much as my son's, believe me.
Right.
And I'm a parent of...
Blessed.
I'm a parent of 6 children, and I'm so thankful that I can even be here tonight. And I think Elder Voiles might explain why this means so much to me tonight.
Yes. Just stay here a moment, sister.
We were over to Soquel for the Sabbath School workshop last winter. And one evening, Elder Fletcher ran into the auditorium, and he said, "Ernie, the Sibles have been in a terrible auto accident." I grabbed Millie, my wife, sitting out there. And we left for the hospital. I saw the car en route to the hospital, and I just shook my head. How could anybody come out of it? As soon as we reached the emergency ward, I saw Emo on a gurney. Hardly recognized him there. I'd never seen him in that position before without his glasses and without clothes on. And then into one of the emergency operating rooms, I found Jerry. She was conscious part of the time and unconscious part of the time. And in these little waves of consciousness, she recognized me and she grabbed my hand. And she said, "Please, don't go. Don't go." And as the hours passed on, we contacted all the members of the family. Then we saw that everyone seemed to be on the road to being well. All we could say was this, that in the front seat of that little Chevy 2 station wagon, some other passengers were riding, with Emo and with Jerry, and with the daughter in the back seat. Only by the grace of God is Jerry here tonight. This is why her heart was pounding, and she came for me for a little moral support.
Thank you, Elder Boyle.
Just stay here a moment. You know, this is a very wonderful testimony. And this mother says that the first time in her whole life she's spoken in public. I think this mother feels a heart full to overflowing of gratitude to a merciful Father in heaven to see her son up here tonight. We don't know what we've been delivered from. We don't know what we're facing tomorrow, do we, friends? And dear parents, I just want to ask you before we close, have these testimonies touched your heart? Don't we feel a call to our hearts as moms and dads? Don't you think that we ought to go back home and gather our children around us even tonight? I've had boys and girls tell me they cannot communicate with their parents. I've had them tell me right this week they've wept because there seems so little communication. Dear parents, there's no generation gap at the foot of the cross, is there? Wouldn't it be a good thing, dear parents, with all your burdens, our weaknesses and our failures, have we been to these dear children all we should have been? Don't you think a revival ought to start back there in our homes tonight? Wouldn't it be a good thing if Mom and Dad could get with son and daughter, slip into the living room or the bedroom there and have a little prayer together? And let's open our hearts a little bit, friends, and try to come to some feeling of oneness and unity in our desire to bring this beautiful spirit to our homes and to our churches. This cannot stay here. I wonder how many parents tonight, feeling their need, their weakness, their failures. Maybe parents, we, like this poor woman, need to be healed too, don't you think, of some chronic malady. Just chronic sloth, chronic indifference, chronic carelessness. We're just coming and going. The Lord is speaking to us. He's wanting us to step in, friends, to move up closer. If we don't, friends, this movement's going to go on without us, that's all. We'll be left behind, that's all. It's going through to the kingdom, and God is calling us. He's calling these youth. And I personally want to yield my heart again to my Saviour. The young people today handed me a card signed by just about all of these youth in this academy to take home to my dear one who's been lying ill for 9 weeks. And they somehow heard about it, and they've sent a little love message home to her. This means much to me, and I want to tell you, young people, I talked to her last night, and God is hearing our prayers. We believe she's on the mend, and this will greatly cheer her. We all feel we belong to such a wonderful family. I just want to ask the parents here tonight. Some of you, I know your hearts are welling with joy, as like this dear mother here tonight, and gratitude to a merciful Father, and for this mother to see her boy up here tonight. God bless you, sister, and grant that you'll stand together with all the family in one day, as we all want to do. But I think we should have just a moment, not of testimony, but I think we ought to have a moment of quiet surrender, humiliation, confession, asking our Heavenly Father to touch us, to do something for us. As we go back to our homes tonight, there'll be better moms and better dads. We'll pray, we'll talk, we'll bring our Heavenly Father's presence into that home as we should do, and to forgive us where we've failed. Help us again to start anew. Isn't it wonderful, friends? Every day can be a new beginning, can it not? How many of the dear parents, with all your discouragements and weaknesses and failures, but with longings tonight, saying, "Yes, Brother Minchin, It's me, standing in the need of prayer. Wouldn't you lift up a prayer for me?" I just ask the parents, for their sakes, for his sake, and your own sake, wouldn't you stand in a moment of surrender and renewed consecration? How many? God bless you all. This is a beautiful, beautiful sight. And friends, are we not told that before the end, just prior to the end, the hearts of the fathers are going to be turned toward the children? I think we ought to talk less about the generation gap and more about family wholeness and oneness at the cross, because we've got to go home as families, haven't we? And once again, I appeal, be tender, be patient with each other's mistakes. Be patient with these children's mistakes. Let's forgive, let's forget, and press on. And he'll kiss us tonight with the kiss of forgiveness. I think we'll just have a little prayer for the parents. Shall we pray? Merciful Father, with thy great father heart, we thank thee for thy tenderness and mercies toward us, thy children. We are sick, but thou wilt heal us. We are weak, but thou art strong. We are tempted, but thou wilt deliver us. Dear Father, wash us clean now. Make our homes what they ought to be. Oh, Lord, how much we need thee back there. Help us to plan our time differently. Not to be so engrossed with business and making a living and the things temporal, things that are going to pass away soon. Let's be more concerned about giving God his rightful place in our homes, in our hearts, and training young lives and characters fit for the kingdom of God. Dear Lord, wash our sins away. Strengthen us where we've been weak. Teach us to love thy word. Show us, Lord, the joy of gathering around the family altar together. Help us not to be too ashamed or proud to go to each other and say, my dear, I'm sorry. I've failed. Let the grace of humility be in our hearts. Lead us, loving Father, that we might lead others. Teach us that we may teach others. Bless thy church. We thank thee for these precious youth and for what we've heard and seen tonight. For this dear mother who's come up here and her son and the deliverance thou hast wrought, not only for them, but for all of us. Accept us now. Take our hands and lead us gently, Father, until we stand together with all the children in, because we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you, friends. Just be seated. Thank you. And now I think we must close, friends, but we should have a song. Do you know what I'd like to hear, to see? I'd like to have you sing something to close. But before we do, I'm sure those who didn't have an opportunity for testimony would love to have come up if you'd had a chance. And I'm sure right there tonight, in silence, you're offering a testimony of praise and thanksgiving to him. Now, I would like to suggest, to close, this, I don't know, what about us making an appointment tonight? I don't know that I'll ever get back to Modesto. Next week, God willing, I'll be going on to Australia, back to my homeland for a visit, to camp meetings, youth congresses, workers' retreats, and so forth. And then we're having, if I don't go next week, I may have to delay a week or so because of Mrs. Minchin's health. But I'm certainly hoping she'll be able to come with me very soon. And I'm going to meet so many down there. What a privilege I have of ministering to our dear people in so many parts of the world. But friends, I don't know when I'm going to get back to Modesto, but I've been making appointments with our youth. What about us making an appointment tonight? Will you meet me there, friends? Will you meet me there when it's all over and we stand together in his presence? Last time I was in Denmark, the last night, the last meeting I took, there must have been 600 or 700 Danish people and youth mainly present. And I said to them, young people, I don't know that I'll ever get back to Denmark. I'm getting older now, and my travelling days won't be for too much longer, perhaps, until I go the long, long journey. But young people, I want to meet you again. And I asked them if they'd like to make an appointment with me by God's grace to meet me in the better land. To meet me over yonder, on the other shore. And you know, they stood and we clasped hands and we prayed. I'll never forget, see the tears glistening in those eyes. Isn't that wonderful, family, friends? Everywhere, the same hope. Next morning I left very early. I caught a train in at Copenhagen to go across the other side of Denmark. I was in the ticket office there in Copenhagen, must have been 6:30 or so, and a Danish lad came hurrying into the ticket office. He could speak a little English, and he came up to me out of breath, and he said, "Brother Minchin, I have come in to make that appointment with you." And he told me that he was in the meeting the night before. He told me he didn't stand because he wasn't ready. He said there were some things I had not yielded to Christ. I had not yielded myself. I wanted my own way. I didn't stand. I was miserable. I felt I was left out. And last night when I went to bed, I kept thinking, Elder Minchin's leaving in the morning and I haven't made that appointment with him. During the night, I got out of my bed. I gave my life to God. I surrendered my heart to him. And I decided I would get on my bicycle. And he rode in 8 or 10 miles to the station that early morning to make that appointment with Brother Minchin. And he gripped my hand in the ticket office right there. I can hear him now with his accent, "Brother Minchin, I want to keep that appointment with you, that dear boy." And he carried my case down to the train. Talked to him through the window for a while, and soon I was being borne away from that station. The last I saw of that lad, he was on the railway platform, legs apart, hands above his head, and as I went around the bend, all I could see was Erling standing there telling me he'd keep that appointment. I often think of him. Lift up a little prayer that we'll both be faithful. We're going to have a great gathering that day. Dear friends, I wondered if in this last moment of our final combined meeting in this church that we could maybe make an appointment with each other. Only by God's help and grace. All those who would like to do that tonight, again with me, before we have the benediction, how many would like to do it just by standing? Wonderful. And before we have the benediction, let's sing it. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Over in Denmark that night, and we sing the chorus again, just clasp each other's hands while we sing, all one in Christ. And the chorus again. All that will be glory for me.
Thinking, Elder Minchin, when folk do leave, I can see that young Dane in my mind now, since you have said that. We want the will of God and the blessing of God to go with our brother, don't we? Would you like to say amen to that? You know, there is a wonderful song we have in the Advent Gospel, for just such an occasion, and I want you to listen now because they're going to provide it. God be with you till we meet again. By His counsel's guide uphold you. In His arms securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Now we'll let you join. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, God be with you till we meet again. Oh, dear Jesus, how thrilled we have been this evening at this manifestation of the outpouring of Thy Holy Spirit. Truly, we recognize we live in earth's last hour, and we rejoice that Thou hast raised up from among us young soldiers of Jesus Christ that will lift the burden in telling the gospel to those about them, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. It has been a heavenly sitting together, and truly, as our brother departs for other appointments, with all of our heart we pray that Thou wilt indeed honor this appointment we have made, that we might one day soon meet together before Thy great white throne. It has rejoiced our hearts. May Thy Holy Spirit say warm within each one as we go from this Thy house. May it serve to guide and direct us moment by moment and day by day, that we might look into Thy glorious face on that day so soon to come, and with fervency say, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He shall save us. Thank you, O Lord, for hearing the many, many prayers that have been offered to you this week, and hearing these commitments this night. In behalf of each one, we thank Thee now, and ask Thy continued blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. International Copyright 2008, all rights reserved. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International Copyright, American Christian Ministries, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.